Good evening, everybody. This is Thursday, November 17th, and this is our COS meeting in progress here. Okay. Anyway, continuing on, right now we're just discussing the presidency of Donald Trump and his cabinet and who he's picking and how he's got some establishment people that gives us pause to reflect. And we don't really know what his strategy is or what he's going to do, but as this relates to the committees of safety and to our constitutional paperwork, I think it's very important, because I think that as we get committees of safeties in these counties, we will be able to push that idea forward as far as the people controlling those buttons in the justice courts. We the people making the decisions and doing the investigations as they should. We need Donald Trump. We need to get to him to institute the common law grand jury back to its proper role, as Scalia explained it in U.S. versus Williams. If we could get back to that, if we could get back to an unfettered common law grand jury, that would go such a long, long way to fixing all these other problems. Because everything would happen with an indictment. Everything would happen with untainted juries at that point, because your administrators would be administering to them. Not to say that you couldn't get four unsavory administrators in an area. Look, Chicago, we're going to have to work on that area. You're never going to have a perfect crime-free setting. However, in the system I'm talking about, they won't get too far, because they will be indicted. Even the grand jurors will be indicted if necessary, or the administrators, the county administrators. And I mean, look, they only can go in their county. I suppose if it's so corrupt over there and they do a coalition of like a tri-county where the three of them work together, I suppose they could control some stuff. But, you know, if this thing is instituted, it's going to be very, very hard to control the people, you know. And I don't know. We need divine intervention with that. I don't know how else, you know. I mean, look, if Trump is in there and he's an enigma and he's not controlled by us, to me that's divine intervention, because he should have never got in. They don't let anybody in, so I can't believe they missed him. I just think they didn't take him seriously, and I think that he really wasn't planning on what he came into, and he saw these things, and he kind of grew into the part, which that means we have a rocky ride, because I think he is growing into the part, and I think it's up to us to educate him and keep him coming along the right path, because he is very rough around the edges. He's a diamond in the rough. And it's up to us to polish him. It really is. And I think the committees of safety are going to be a very, very good tool for that in our communities. And don't forget, there's no guarantee. I mean, we're going to have a credit default. Sure, as the sun rises and sets, it's coming. It's a mathematical, what do you call it? Event. It's one and one is two. I don't care what you say. You know.
You're right. Saudi Arabia, China, and one other nation I just saw today. They're selling off their bonds and treasury notes by the hundreds of billions right now. So it's already beginning.
World War III is going to be fought with out of shot. It's going to be fought economically. It's going to be fought digitally. It's going to be fought by attrition with all these foreign actors in here that are against us, these jihadists. We're really set up for a fall right now, and there's only a couple things that can save us. And number one is the fact that we're the most armed populace in the world. They haven't gotten the guns away, and I think if they try, it's going to be a shitstorm that they don't want.
Yeah,
so I don't know what they're going to do with that, because
absolutely.
And out in the countries, even outside of New York City, let me tell you what, they have no idea what they're facing. You know what I mean? As far as guns and ammo goes, it's alive and well. And even your lots of law enforcement and lots of ex-military and just the whole idea that, look, we are all Americans, and we are all militia, and we all have skills. You know, I think Brent covered some of this on his call. You know, when you raise an army when you draft young men into the army, you don't have the same thing that you have with a militia of able-bodied men, some of who are doctors, lawyers, mechanics, engineers. You don't get that with an army. You get a bunch of young, impressionable men, and you mold them into the killing machine that you want, and you give them a goal, and you turn them loose. That's a different thing than a militia of able-bodied, constitutional Americans. They have no idea what they're facing. They don't know. You know, I mean, look at real Americans are so driven by our ideals and so willing to die for that. They don't understand that concept. None of them do, because they live for today. And when you get a real American and his gut is open and his intestines are hanging out and he wraps them around and picks them up and continues to fight, what do you think that's going to do to them? You know, we will be the zombie apocalypse because we will fight until every last ounce of blood is out of us. And I don't think they can take it. They talk big talks. It's all smoke and mirrors. But the second they get a splinter, they got to run home to mommy. That's what I think about them. I don't think they have the wherewithal to stand up to what we could deliver to them.
You know what they say about blue helmets, don't you? They make good targets.
You know what? If they come in with blue helmets, they're so stupid. I can't. If I was one of them, I'd be painting it some other color. that would be my first line of defense, you know.
I think it was Nebraska where they made silencers legal, and the feds come in and busted that vet. Where was the county sheriff? This is a perfect example where people have got to stand up. Or the states have got to stand up against the feds.
Yeah, well, that was Kansas.
That's a state problem. That state made that law and didn't come in and back it up. That should have been a civil war right there.
Yes, exactly.
They should have said, and like you said, the sheriff should have all stood up. What the heck's going on with Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made a law that encouraged them to do this, you know? So I don't know, and what are those guys supposed to do? They were found guilty. Now they got to appeal and all that bullshit, right? I don't know. You know, the judge, just like in the Malheur thing, would not let them use the state evidence to defend themselves. You know, they held the evidence back that they wouldn't let the jury hear the fact that Kansas legalized it in spite of, you know, it specifically said that the federal government's laws do not stand in their state. Now, I don't know why a jurist wouldn't know that in Kansas, but, you know, you get a prosecutor that picks juries, and I'll bet you he could pick all the dummies he can find, you know?
What was this, in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Oh, that's your answer. That's your answer right there. If they'd been out in that western Kansas, they'd never done it.
Oh, I don't know where the trial was. Let's see. I don't hold me to that. I just read the article. States' rights denied in Kansas. Does it say where? I don't know if it even says where the trial was.
Well, you said a mouthful, though, when you said, where were the sheriffs? I mean, if even half the sheriffs in that state probably would have stood up, things would have turned out a lot different.
Yeah. Not only did the law rein in the federal government's overreach, you know, with unconstitutional gun controls, the law allowed for the prosecution of federal agents attempting to enforce the federal gun control laws within the state. I mean, that's pretty powerful, and the judge wouldn't let the jury hear that?
I
don't know who that judge is. Maybe we should go after that judge, whoever it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's pretty bad that they got a law like that.
Let me ask you this question. This is going to go to the Supreme Court. Now, how's the Supreme Court going to rule for states' rights?
Well, it depends on when it gets there. Right now, it's not looking too good.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, I mean, Donald Trump has a potential 3 or 4, justices that he can replace. And I don't know how long that's going to take, because I don't know when they're ready to retire or anything else. But that's a case that we really, really should be high on our agenda, because, you know, well, you know, if we don't defend this case, we'll be defending it with the guns. That's what this case is going to do. It's going to speed up the revolution.
They'll use it for case law, won't they? If they can get away with it, they'll just use it for case law in the future and say, well, you know, here was the example that was already set.
They'll set another precedent. You're exactly right. Yes.
Well, it's not good. And, I mean, I don't know what the, you know, how do you start a revolution? A shooting war is really hard because they won't give it to you. As much as they want one, if we want one, we won't get it. You know what I mean? They ain't going to face up to us crazy, foam-at-the-mouth patriots. But I'll tell you what, we do have technology, and we are smart, and we could do a guerrilla covert warfare. Those guys could start dropping dead every day. We could be given rewards for years of those particular actors that violated that Constitution, because as far as we're concerned, it's an act of war.
That's right.
You know, we'll hire some corporate actors, some Hessians, to come in and fight our battles, and we'll go, I don't know. We didn't tell them to do that. We got to use the same tactics they do. And we should have people with money coming into this. Since look at Donald Trump and all these other people that believe like he does, there's money there. They should be putting their money into defending the nation for whatever, however it takes, on these blatant violations of law, ones that, you know, absolutely, you know, fly in the face of, you know, when they start coming in and taking guns. You know, and the thing is they're smarter than that. They're not gonna try to do a sweep and take people's guns. I think they're smarter than that. I think that because by the time they get to the second house, the revolution has begun. They know that. I think they know that. I hope they know that. If they don't know that, that's pretty scary too, because they're gonna find it out. Because that's one of the things that will engage any patriot, any true American citizen, is not going to stand by as they go do raids on house after house. But you see, if they can stop you in your car, and they can come in and arrest you for this, and tie you up in court, and then get everybody scared to make that step, you know, that's what's gonna be bad. And that's how they'll do it. Slowly, they'll bleed us until we have no blood left in us.
Oh, thank you.
So. I think there's somebody communicating, or I can't hear them. If that's it.
Hey, Gerard.
Yeah.
This is Greg out of Florida. I had a little comment to make about the monetary stuff. Were you aware that India has anything over 500 rupees is no longer a valid currency there?
I heard that they're planning on getting rid of any big bills, even here.
Well, yeah, and they've already done that in the last 2 days. If you watch wearechange.org, the guy's there reporting it, Lou Kradowski, and he said that what they're doing is the banks are forcing people to cash. If they want to cash that money, they have to prove they've earned it, because it's such a cashless, you know, it's a cash society in India. So the banks are reining them in right now. So they are literally saying if you have 500 rupee or more, you've got to prove you earned the money, and you've got to show us your income taxes in order to justify it.
Are they changing the money, though?
Yes, they don't. They are. They've changed the currency.
Because that's the only way that'll work.
They have changed the currency. So I just thought I'd let you know that the banks are reigning in India, which was a largely cash society. That's all.
Well, let me tell you where they fall down, and they may try to do the same thing our government did. They fall down with gold and silver. People start dealing in gold and silver, they have no control over it. There's the black market. And, you know, they're going to burn people. You know, you're going to get your burn notice. They're going to erase your social security number and your credit cards, and you're going to be on your own. But let me tell you what, it's not that you can't survive that way. It's that you need to find the resources to survive that way. And the group of people that do live that way and survive that way, they're going to be one tough cookies. You know, they're going to be nobody to be messed with. And India, you know, India is very, very tenacious to people. Very tenacious. You know, you had Gandhi. They stood arm in arm against tyranny. I think that with a little imagination, they can rise to the occasion. Look, there's Bitcoin. There's lots of different things that can defeat this if we just put our thinking caps on and start doing it. And even covertly, it doesn't matter. These things, as far as I'm concerned, they're patriotism. Look, if the money is not, I'll go by our Constitution. If it's not controlled by Congress, it's garbage. It's garbage. Even this Federal Reserve note we have, it's paper money that really they have no authority. So we need to start thinking outside of that box. You know what? Federal Reserve notes are going to be good in the beginning, but it's you're going to end up going to gold and silver and rice and beans and 22 shells. And the quicker we get there, the better off we'll be.
Well, it's Harley. How you doing?
Good.
You know, our amnesia as a culture is astonishing, astonishing to me. It's like, it's one of the protocols of Zion to collect all the gold. They, you know, they undervalued it so they could marginalize it, so they could scoop it up with fiat currencies. And now, you know, there's a seed of real Fabian thought over there in India. That's where the Common Core organization came out of the 60s, like Tavistock, not to go down a rabbit hole, but you know, it's like they're morphing societies as best they can, and they're doing social engineering, and it's always by, you know, cause, reaction, solution, we know. And so, you know, the thing is they're trying to melt down a current system while making the lifeboat look better or forcing people. And I think that at a certain point, everybody's going to wake up who can get onto the internet and can get their stuff by some back channel to understand that it's a collectivist Vatican UN kind of thing that has been this struggle, and they will reject all the tentacles and the pieces of it. And you're right, they're going to go to bartering, they're going to go to black market underground economies. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with our currency and stuff like that. You know, it makes no sense. I mean, he could pull a national socialism move and make our money based on the credit of our own people and get off the Fed, you know, do a Lincoln Kennedy kind of a move. And that would, you know, start to turn around. But, you know, these games with people's currency, you know, and a lot of the world, they want to trade without having the government involved in currency, you know, so it can go from one smartphone to another across borders. And I think that the controllers, just like the media controllers, they hate it. This is their world inverted. This is their stuff going nuclear.
Look at. They're all failing now. The day of their failure is now. You know, the Leviathan is going to be slayed in this day, and necessity is the mother of invention. They look, the people are awake, whether you know it or not. They really are. I mean, at least around everybody I talk to around me, they all if they're not completely awake, they know it's all bullcrap. They know everything that's out of the government's mouth is bullcrap. So they finally accepted that, you know, this blind thing that my government would never do that to me. and there's more of that that's going to come out because, you know, they have so much stuff that they're holding back and they want to use it a certain way. And they think they can control it. But what happens is just what happened to Hillary. She went into those machines. She thought she had it. I really think that she was befuddled because Donald Trump was smarter than you think he is. I think he had people watching. I think he knew how to use the social media. And he defeated her with a tsunami. They couldn't control the election as well as they would have liked to. They did a pretty good job, grant you, because I think if they didn't have any of that stuff in, he would have won 50-1. There would have been no question, hands down. They've been able to raise this minority up and make it. Look, you really have the man behind the curtain right now. You really have the Wizard of Oz, and people are starting to realize it. But what's happening is they're shaking because they're starting to throw each other under the bus because they see that their support that they built up is crumbling. They're crumbling. and they're gonna and you're gonna start seeing them more and more throw each other under the bus. They're gonna start leaving like rats from a sinking ship. That's my prediction. And I really believe that they can no longer look at. They've been screwing with the people for hundreds of years. You know, for 1,000 years. I mean, we had period of in America when we were living the dream. They had already had their fingers in there. They already look at. They put in the central bank in the early 1900s, 1911. So we were dead man walking from that point. But we're walking on will and belief. And fantasy, and that's what we've been sustained on. We're working with a dollar that's worth less than 4 cents, but we're still doing it, aren't we? How do we do that? You know, because
Gerard,
you know,
I'll tell you what's coming down to, Gerard. I need a fuel pump on my 03 Taurus. I'll tell you what, I'll either sweep out your shop every night for a week, or maybe I can change that element in your hot water heater. Which one would you prefer? That's what it's going to come down to.
Absolutely. I do. I've been doing it for years already. Yeah. You know, cash is getting harder and harder to get a hold of. And, of course, the federal government hates it because they have such a need for control and knowledge. You know, knowledge is control. And you know, I don't even like to use those stupid store cards.
Get the exam.
Because they can come in. And say, oh, let me see Harley's grocery card. How much money has he spent here in the past year? You know, and depending on what you're telling your income tax, if your grocery bill's too high, they're gonna say, hey, there's a problem here. You know, I'm telling you, they have the ability to watch everything, and this new little chip that they've invented, this new RFID that they can read, and is right here, right now, today. And the infrastructure's going in. All the new appliances and everything has all that smart chips in it. And so we better get our – look, at the money going down is the best thing that can happen to us because of their system going down. I mean, that's the system – all the technology that they've put in, this wonderful information technology, this just-in-time shipping, this all this other stuff that, you know, keeping track of your prescriptions electronically. I mean, there's good things to that, but they can't resist the bad. They can't because it's a double-edged sword.
We need the three precious metals, gold, silver, and lead, right?
To me, it might sound archaic and it might sound barbaric, but let me tell you what, I know where that's going. I can see that, I can smell it, I can feel it, I can taste it. Call me old-fashioned, but those little ones and zeros, they don't tickle my fancy too much. That's what's going to kill us, you know, because that money, all that, you know, we don't have any cash in existence hardly. We got trillions and trillions and trillions of digital digits that represent our money. There is no such thing as an electronic dollar. The only one that's out there is Bitcoin. Certainly not the Federal Reserve note. So unless they raise that to an act, unless they can back it with something and make that electronic digit actually worth something, right now, tomorrow morning, you can wake up and all your money will go bye-bye in cyber heaven.
Sorry, Gerard, but it's the same with the other fiat currencies, the euro, even the yen. But, you know, in the yen circumstance, they're mixing it. They're muddling it with a basket of currencies and other gold securities and stuff, it sounds like. But, you know, what really fascinates me is Greece. You know, they kind of had the first shock, and then they had a sort of seasoning that's gone on, and it's really changed their whole sort of gestalt. You know, they're still taking hits from the EU because the EU hasn't quite fallen apart, but it is falling apart. And Germany right now is really irked about their privacy because they lived under the KGB, remember? When they rebuilt their government building, they put a glass dome on it to signify transparency. The government should be the one that's transparent. And so the internet and all of us will leave Facebook, we'll leave freaking Google, we'll leave friggin' Twitter. Screw you, I'm a old school geek. We got lots of ways. It's just convenient for us to push the button and connect the same way every time. But, you know, so the rebellion is out, everything's out of the bag, and the money is just going to be whatever we say it is. And I think there's going to be so many different options. You know, it's they think it's good for them to go slow. It's actually good for us to go slow, because as the pain hits, we move to another thing. We don't have to have the shock of a real revolution and have things get real dirty and down and ugly like Venezuela. Aren't we smarter than that? You know, we just transition over time into other things. But
Well, look, if the food goes off the shelves, you're going to have revolution. You can't help it. People are going to eat. And I don't know that they want that. You know, so, there's a faction of them that want that. But there's another faction up there that likes the way things are. And they want to keep going, and they want to lock it down, and they want to go slow. But you see, they've been, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard of Brzezinski and a couple of these other reptilian guys talking. But they're upset. They wanted this thing to be over 20 years ago. And every time they try, they fail. And the reason they fail is because there's people that keep the Constitution alive. And they have not been able to kill the idea of sovereignty. They hate sovereignty. They want to kill sovereignty. And they have not been able to. And it irks them. And you know what? They're never going to kill it. They're never going to kill it. And the revolution is going on right now. This is it. You're in Armageddon, whether you know it or not, because this is the battle. And certain people are protected and other people aren't. There's, you know, unfortunately, you know, we have the modern day martyrs, the ones that are arresting and doing all this stuff to. That should be animating us into the battle. And everything we can do to work outside of their system is a revolutionary act. It's an act of war. And make no mistake about it, because they're going to try to outlaw it. They're going to try to identify that battle. And they're going to try to draw the lines in that battle. But you see...
Well, here's a great example of one blowing right up in their face. And I want somebody else to comment on this. Is, okay, so like in the last 2 days, so the supposed liberal somebody, I don't know who claims that nefarious term, but have decided which sites to start out with, the big alternative, popular ones, of course, that they picked on, like Breitbart, to call them non-news. Now you've engaged a battle over who's the arbiter of what's true and how do you prove what's true. And to me, science itself is not bad. It's the people who control science. News is not bad. Social media is not bad. It's the people who control these things. So when it becomes truly democratic and everybody votes with their feet, they either get a safe argument and a sane argument, or they walk away. Then who is the arbiter of truth?
It only works because we cooperate with it. It's a self-police system. It's all smoke and mirrors. And we haven't even begun to think outside of the box. Look at next week. We should all mail each other our Social Security numbers. You use mine, I'll use yours, and we'll do that for a week, and let's see what happens. The following week, we'll figure out something else to do. You know, we'll all exchange driver's licenses. When the cops pull us over, none of us will have the right license or the right picture, but we have to do it in mass. See, we have to train people to act in mass the same way that they've trained people to act in mass. Don't get me started. I'll tell you what, I could be a pinky in the brain. I could take over this world. Because
there's two different ways to look at it. There's two different ways to look at it. Either the emperor has no clothes, or why do you suppose the man with no clothes should be called the emperor?
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, either way works for me. He's ugly either way. I don't care what you say. There's not too many people can stand naked and look pretty. I'll tell you what, that's a minority. So I won't join that group. I'm keeping my clothes on. But look at, I mean, this call is Committee of Safety stuff. You see how we're talking here tonight? Your committees of safety need to be talking like this in your communities on local issues. That's the idea. You see, They've only been able to control us because we're not engaged on the local level. We're turning on CNBC. We're turning on all this crap. We're getting this national news, and then it's filtering down into our towns. If we went to our town board meetings, if we held our own alternative meetings to speak about the things that they're doing on our town boards that we don't agree with, and then eventually we get more people at our meetings than their meetings, and then eventually we move our meeting into their meetings. You understand? That's how it's going to work, okay?
Speaking of committees of safeties, though, and back on the thing with Kansas with the firearm issues again and everything, I don't know on a national level who the state leaders are. You guys obviously probably would, Jan and other people, as far as who the state leaders are and who any county coordinators are. Maybe a concerted effort needs to be gotten to go out there and at least try to talk to as many of these sheriffs as possible. I don't know what the membership is in Kansas or anything else, but just try to test the waters to find out how many might be partially on our side, all on our side, or whatever. Because if we do what you suggested, Gerard, maybe go after that situation and try to address it, it'd be nice to know how many potential sheriffs would be on our side or could be swayed.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is, that is the focal point, the sheriff. Now, like over here in my county, I thought the sheriff was running this time, and he doesn't. He runs in the next election. They don't run them on the national election. They run them, even though the sheriff's term is 4 years, it's off of the presidential election. Right. So they stagger it, so they're not changing the president and the Congress and the local sheriffs. And that's smart if you think about it, you know what I mean? Because it gets too hard, you know, when you're having a change of command. If they're changing everything all at once and taking everybody out, putting all new people in, you end up with a kind of a chaos with nobody knowing what's going on, you know, with a bunch of new people in. But we need to figure out, and some sheriff's races in certain states and places were this time, because Robert Overjewel, one of our guys, ran this time. So if Kansas is running in the next year or two, that's important for us, because we could empower people to step up to the plate and to run for those sheriff's position. And let me tell you what, running for the position is just as important as winning it. You can get out there and wake a lot of people up in a campaign. You can raise issues. You can make people think about stuff they've never thought about before, whether you get elected or not. If you're the right person and you got a bully pulpit, because they're going to try to make you look stupid. But you know what? I would use every opportunity that they stuck a microphone or a camera in my face to get my idea across. And I would use sound bites, and I don't care how crazy they make me sound, because I'm going to reach the people. And I'll reach the crazy people first. They'll support me, like Al Sharpton. He built his legacy on bad press. Give me the bad press. It's better than no press. Today we send papers and they don't answer. That's their thing. They give us the silent treatment. What do hate men most? What do men hate most from a woman? The silent treatment, right? And that's what our government has learned, you know. Well, what's your answer? Well, my answer is no answer. Well, you know, we have to. Well, guess what? That means that you've acquiesced. If your answer is no answer, under law, silence is acquiescence. We have to push that. We have to push it in our paperwork. We have to push it in our conversation, and we have to hold their feet to the fire, because they don't want it, you know.
It's that critical mass you were talking about, though. Until we get that, then we can't push hard enough. That's the thing, though. Seems that way anyway.
You're right, except for one thing: people are looking for leaders. When a man stands up and says the right words in the right context, in the right place, at the right time, all of a sudden, like whack-a-mole, the heads start popping up. All of a sudden, you're finding constitutional legislators and sheriffs, things that have that head down under the desk all this time, afraid to raise their head up because they didn't feel that they had the support out there, and they weren't willing to throw their livelihood away to defend the Constitution. Because they figure, why should I defend it when nobody else is defending it? I just do my best to go along to get along for now, you know. And that is kind of a crime, but you can't blame them, you know. In a certain sense, if they don't have the people behind them, So if you get a courageous guy that's willing to stand up and say things, you'll find people coming out. Look at the support that Donald Trump got. Because he was saying certain things, and he wasn't the best guy in the world. He was pretty stupid in the beginning, you know. I mean, he just has that wise mouth, and you know, and he always took it too far. You know, but he's learned now. I can see that he's learned. You know, when that newscaster asked, you know, there was some kind of dinner and she stuck a microphone in his face and she said, well, you don't respect women and you say this and you say that and you say this. And they weren't supposed to ask those kind of questions, but she put him on the spot and did anyway. And he paused. She paused and he said, I only say that about Rosie O'Donnell. And everybody died laughing, including the Democrats. Of course, he could have left it alone, but he had to say, well, her problem is she's got blood coming out of her. Well, he ruined it. He ruined that great shoot from the hip, knock her down remark. He had to add the extra, and that's the problem right there. So they were able, though, as well as he sidestepped and rolled with the punch, then she stood back up and did a stupid thing. So hopefully he's learned from his – I think he's learned a lot from his campaign trail. But we need to learn from that. Look, go out and be politically incorrect, but don't be crass. You know what I mean? Don't be stupid, you know? So, I don't know. People are looking for leaders. Look, Donald Trump has a lot of noise in his ears right now. Why? Because these guys that are hanging on to his coattails, as far as they're concerned – He's on the top of the wave. He's the surfer that's standing on the surfboard riding the wave, and they want to be up there with him. And they're all coming in. Now, I don't know. Look, he's amassed millions. He's played their game. He's not as dumb as you might think he is. And I don't know what he's doing with them, but he's got to make it to the inauguration. And pulling these guys in that we see as less than savory for us, could be part of a tactic. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
you guys, what do you think the chances is that we could get a hold of Sheriff Clark if he gets to get that DHS position and really get in his ear somehow and find out if there's a way we could get him to really start going around and speaking to the sheriffs or around the country on a regular basis as part of his job? Because if we could keep him true to the way he has been up to this point and not get corrupted in Washington, D.C., he could really wake up a lot of sheriffs and help, or at least inspire others to run for sheriffs, like you were talking about, George. And then that would help us with our committee of safeties and the whole nine yards.
Look, as the head of the DHS, he could go into each county and make the sheriff the head of the local DHS and make the sheriff the guy that calls the punches, because technically the sheriff is the guy. I don't care what federal agency it is, right?
Right, right.
I mean, he can't even come in and tell that sheriff what to do, right?
Correct.
So if he empowers all the sheriffs the way they need to be empowered, then guess what? The DHS will be – look, we have, besides the Federal Department of Homeland Security, you have state departments of Homeland Security. They all have their counterparts on the local level. You see what they've done now, right? Mm. I mean, in New York, we have New York State Department of Homeland Security. What's that? You know, and how wrapped up are they into the Federal Department of Homeland Security? That's something that needs to be looked into. You know, how do you create all these crazy departments? And especially if the federal government is funding them, I would say that they're not a local, they're a federal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of garbage going on, and now we got to go through and unravel this ball of string that they got all twisted and tangled. And we can do it. We can do it because we can look and say, how can we use this to our advantage? And there's one way. Take the Department of Homeland Security, tie them to the sheriffs, and we turn them into posse comitatus. How do you like that?
It's not a bad idea, actually. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, we're not really redefining the role of the sheriff. Like you said, you basically have somebody from the top down come down and start talking to these sheriffs saying, this is the power and authority you already have. I'm standing behind you, and from a federal level, rise up and take
take the authority and use the authority that you've already been given by the Constitution and start realizing who you are as a constitutional peace officer and an executive and an administrator on your local county level and do what you're supposed to be doing. You know, you're not going to get federal obstruction in any way by doing that. If he just gave that message, that would be great.
And I'm going to be a broken record because it needs to be done in the Committee of Safety in that community. Wherever that sheriff is, that Committee of Safety in that community should be talking to him. And they should be holding his feet to the fire. And they should be making these suggestions to him. And he should know what a Committee of Safety is. And he should be encouraging people to do this. So who's ever in that area where he is, they need to be having dialogue with him. There needs to be committees of safety in like a tri-county area around that sheriff. And the trouble is if they make him the director of Homeland Security, it removes him from the county then. Is he still going to be the county sheriff? I mean, he can't hold two positions. He can't serve two masters, right?
Agreed.
So that's gonna take him away as having the authority in his county anyway. I mean, it looks like they're giving him bigger authority, but really they're not empowering him. They're dispowering him in as far as what his jurisdiction is.
Yeah, you know absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
So he needs to understand that, and I'm sure he does. I mean, if he understands the constitutional sheriff, he may say thanks, but no thanks. I kind of like the power I got here down on the county. I like fighting. I like fighting federal bullies in my county. And if you make me the director of the whole nation, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about you take every sheriff, 3,133 sheriffs, put sheriffs in every county. And each sheriff runs Homeland Security out of his county.
Yeah.
And I'll direct that. I'll direct the facilitation of that. But I'm still going to be sheriff in my county.
Hey, Gerard, I got a funny sheriff story for you.
Okay.
When we started fighting the prison down there, Lindsay started asking the county sheriff there for help. Okay, same old story. No jurisdiction. Okay, well, me and Lindsay was sitting there talking. The deputy sheriff calls her up, and, you know, in the same thing, but he says, we're going to document. I want to document the whole thing. You know, this sort of appeasement, you know, like they're doing something. So he sits there and documents all this and writes it down, you know, and he's getting everything accurate and all this. So he gets done, and I said, well, let me tell you what, sir. You're the county sheriff. You're part of the county sheriff. In that county, if there is criminal activity going on in any building in that county, you have jurisdiction to go in that building and arrest. And let me tell you something else, sir. If we file a modified habeas corpus in the Ninth District Court, that county sheriff, you are obligated, you have the jurisdiction and the authority to go in and serve that habeas corpus on the warden. His attitude changed real quick. Okay, now, so they told Lindsay, well, you come down and get the document. So all of a sudden, well, it's going to take 3 days and it's going to cost $5. So finally, she went out to Golden here a few days ago. Okay, well, we still don't have it. But while she was standing there, the sheriff was there doing the renewals on concealed carries. Okay, so the two people leave, and then he says, are you the county sheriff? And he says, may I ask who's asking? He looked up and looked at Lindsay. He saw Lindsay. He gulped and he boogied. No more. He just fled.
and she wasn't even holding a gun, was she?
No. So I'll tell you what. You just start spouting what their obligations and jobs are. And you said with authority, and you, when you know what you're talking about, it intimidates them. It does.
Absolutely. And look at how about you going in and swearing a sworn affidavit about a crime being committed? He has no choice.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yep. But going in, we talked to Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Mack. Max asked Sheriff Max, says, what would you do? Sheriff Max says, I would walk in that prison and I would demand a wellness check. He said, they have the authority to do it. And when you file a complaint with a county sheriff, he has to act on it.
Well, what they do, what we got here, because we tried exactly what I just told you, we swore out an affidavit and brought it to the sheriff, and he said, look it. He said, this is an elected official. He said, before I would ever go in and arrest an elected official, you just brought me this affidavit. I have to run it by the prosecutor. See, they let their prosecutors determine. Yeah. And he said, because if the prosecutor doesn't think there's enough evidence there, and he said, it's not my job to examine the rules of evidence and stuff, although it is, but you know what I'm saying. He said, ultimately, the prosecutor is the guy that's going to prosecute it. So therefore, if he tells me I can't arrest because he's not going to pry, he said, so even if I arrest, he doesn't have to indict. I mean, unless, look at, they should put it in front of a grand jury, but these prosecutors, they're not even doing that. You know, they bring stuff with an information. That's what they're doing. So if the sheriff arrests and the prosecutor refuses to write it up under an information and they don't give it to a grand jury, guess what? It goes nowhere. They have to let the person go after so many days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to run into. And, you know, basically, I don't know how to handle that. I mean, I haven't put my mind to handling it. But I think what I would do is if the prosecutor refused, if I did a sworn affidavit to the sheriff and he brought it to the prosecutor and the prosecutor refused to let the sheriff arrest, then I think that I would put a case in against the prosecutor saying that he's obstructing justice, that he's aiding and abetting the breaking of the law. And I would put his feet on the fire, and I'd demand the sheriff to arrest him and see how he likes them apples. You know?
Now if there had been three county leaders standing there with Lindsay, he would have had a heart attack. That's why we need committee to safety. That's why we need activity in every county. They just put their feet to the fire.
I've got an idea. Yeah. I'm looking at a post now that says Obama, Holder, Sharpton, Farrakhan, BLM leaders named in federal lawsuit for inciting violence. What if every town that we could, or every county rather, because that's sort of how we're organized, filed a federal complaint against them and Soros for damages?
We only have one problem, that these judges don't follow the law, and they'll turn around and they'll dismiss cases before they ever come to court. You need a very concerted. I don't know how to hold their feet to the fire so that they don't just say, well, this is baloney and dismiss.
Well, we don't worry about the fire. Here's my I love this analogy and see if it rings true for anybody, but we can all say that our cases are a little bit insignificant, aren't going to get a number, are going to be misfiled, are going to get, you know, lost, are going to get ignored, are not going to get our right result. But if we stack enough kindling at their feet, eventually the spark's going to go off. And my thought is that if we had a template where a state coordinator in each state could fire off this lawsuit mimicking the other federal lawsuit and under the NLA banner, we would get a lot of support from every Trumpy, everybody who wants law and order, and restore rule of law, you know? And then, you know, you have these people asking about these cases every time, you know? We have a project op where we just call about this case all the time because we're just sick of them taunting us by bringing mayhem to our streets. They want us to come out as the militia and get in a battle with them. And we're not that stupid. We're not that Neanderthal. We're not racist and we're not violent, but we will insist on the rule of law.
Well, look, if we all write about the same players, like Al Sharpton, this one, that one, and we all file cases and affidavits to those cases. See, the affidavit is probably the most important thing.
That's what I'm saying. If we organize it right and we have an affidavit or more than one usually from each case. You know what I'm going with this?
Right, and then what you do is when you get a preponderance of affidavits stacked up in every county, you bring them all together and you bring it to one place and you tell somebody like Donald Trump or Congress, look it, this is all the people that we should have had a grand jury investigation. We want a special prosecutor. We don't want a government operative. We want a private attorney general, and we want a common law grand jury on this, and we want to prosecute now. We want to let the trial begin. And if we have enough people and enough affidavits, I think they would be bound to do something. They would not be able to ignore it. Okay. You know. And that's how we would do it. When we finally got enough that they started that and we could compile them all and send them in to the Capitol or whatever and say, look it, the government's not governing. We picked the government, and now it's time to do your job. We have all this stuff. We want a special prosecutor. Well, we want a private attorney general, and we want a common law grand jury, and we want to assemble that with for an investigation, for an indictment. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Excuse me. I'm sorry for interrupting. I was just going to ask. Do you know if there's any kind of an update yet on PowerPoint presentation or whatever that I know we were working on as far as for using that to try to raise awareness and, you know, use it for recruiting for committees of safety?
Well, I went through it earlier this week with them. We went through and corrected some stuff, and it's very close. I don't know. Right now they have to put we went through the written portion, but then we're going to overlay it with a dialogue, and the dialogue is not necessarily going to follow at word for word the written portion, and that's what needs to be done right now. That's where we're at. I can't tell you how long it's going to take because I'm not doing that part. I mean, if we had somebody really good and everybody could get together because we're all working, you know, in our spare times or whatever. But right. I think it'll be. I think that we should have it ready within the next 7 days. I think it's that close.
Okay. Thank you.
So, and the reason I like that PowerPoint, and it's real. It kind of sort of comes very heavily on leaning towards militia, which some people might not feel comfortable with, but we're doing it in the context of the Constitution, and we're trying to make, you know, we're trying to target those people who are already in that mode anyway and don't even realize it. First responders, hunters, you know what I mean? People, mm-hmm. people who are sort of out there for disaster preparedness, rescue teams, all that. Look, you're already doing it. And if you're a hunter, you have a gun and you're proficient in it. Those are the two clauses of the militia clauses that you're upholding, you know? So to me, it was very much easier to get people to accept the fact that, I mean, who is the militia anyway? It's us. And, mm-hmm. and to try to vilify that, I mean, people have to understand the sleight of hand that they gave us to vilify the militia. They're vilifying us, we the people. That's what they're vilifying. So, anyway, I'm just saying that PowerPoint really drives home who the militia is, what their duties are. And then, you know, we get into the committees of safety and that also we tie it in. I think it's really good because, and I would try to target those people first, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, after you get a good base group like that, then you can use, I mean, we have other committee of safety videos and PowerPoints for the general, you know, just kind of not really targeting any one group or anything. But I think it's just going to naturally metamorphose out of there. And to me, it was a no-brainer to go there, especially when you understand the amount of hunters in any one state. I mean, it's amazing, you know, that you can have 800,000 hunters in a particular state. Those are all men with guns that know how to shoot them, and they're Americans.
Gerard?
Yes.
Something that's been, I think, been overlooked, not just by our group here, but just in general, which it's glaring to me, is that nobody, virtually nobody, is saying anything about the horrendous child sex trafficking that we all found out about through the WikiLeaks. Now, if our nation, I'm not criticizing anybody, it troubles me that nobody talks about this. But if we are worried about what Donald Trump's doing, and, you know, which we should be, but, I mean, and who the sheriff, and we plan for the militia, and we do this and that, and the children are still getting sex trafficked right under our nose and under our feet and under God's nose, too, I don't see where he's got any obligation to do anything for us, because we're ignoring the most helpless of those among us, and the same with our elders. And I know that everybody's probably, you know, either through a child being taken from CFS or through mistreatment of their parent or a veteran that they know, everybody's been touched by this. But it shouldn't be so taboo that we don't talk about it. I mean, this perhaps, like I think it was Harley maybe, was saying that everybody should write up affidavits. Now, I don't know that fits in with the structure that he was talking about, but what I'm saying is that we're missing a really huge piece of the puzzle, and maybe just tonight isn't the night to talk about it, but I do want to throw it in there so we don't miss it. Puzzle piece number two would be that we continue, each and every one of us, continue to beat that damn drum everywhere we go, that we don't let it die, that the way they're financing this black ops crap that they're doing, not just nationwide, but internationally, is by misusing, by hurting and snuffing out and raping little children. And I don't think any one of us, I mean, we all have a big heart or we wouldn't be here, but I really, really think that if the soccer moms talk about it, the grandmas talk about it, take it to the church. You know, the church doesn't want to hear about this stuff. They want to slurp down coffee and stuff cake in their mouth. And they chew on a chicken leg. Nobody wants to take it up to the altar and get down and weep about those children that have been sex trafficked. And I'm saying this, you know, I'm just saying this from my heart, that if we forget about them, if we do not go after the people who have done this to them, and if we just glide over it and don't keep banging that drum, bang it and bang it, this month, next month, in January, to the inauguration, after the inauguration, somebody has got to do something. And, you know, we're the adults in the room. And I hope it's NLA that takes a stand on this and really, you know, just doesn't forget about it. So thank you for letting me get that off my chest and heart.
Well, let me tell you what. The New York City police are hot on this, and they would love to indict. And I think that we need to help them to continue that. Right now, I think that Donald Trump doesn't want to engage it until after the inauguration. And I mean, I even heard he said, "Oh, we're not going to prosecute her," or something to that effect. Yeah. And I can't imagine why, because look, he's got to know that she's committed felonies and treason. Look, mm-hmm. All that remains to be done with her is to build the gallows in anticipation of the guilty and hang her, because that's all she deserves, and her husband and Obama, because they're all on that Lolita Express, and the New York City police have all the evidence for it. So this is a perfect opportunity. Look, I don't think we should attack all of it everywhere, but I think we should pinpoint it right there in New York City. Hillary Clinton, Wiener, Obama, and what's her name there, the devil woman, Clinton. Because they and Uma too, right. And they have national security problems. They got all kinds of felonies sitting there. And I think what Trump is doing is using that hanging over their heads to try to facilitate him getting into office without getting a bullet. Because look at, it's out on the street. The New York City police know it. You're not putting that genie back in the bottle, as far as I'm
concerned. We better not let it go back in. That's right.
I don't see how you care.
Confidence. There's When I brought it up earlier meetings, I try to remind people that it's so international and so long standing, as Gerard said. This is the same suspects, and they keep their power through this blackmail. You know, it's not just the money from one thing, it's the money from guns, drugs, and prostitution, and, you know, but the DHS, you know, we could dust off some of those stories that used to scare the hell out of Linda in the NLA, and they're, you know, related to sex trafficking when you talk about a judge who gets paybacks and these different things, you know, if we wanted our own. But, you know, in Britain, there's a guy, John Patterson, Gordon Bowden, there's this place in Finchley Road that has all these shell corporations that they hide the money, the state's money, and, you know, so it's all connected to these same guys, and it's blowing up big time over there. All this nonsense in New Zealand was about the fact that they have another constitutional angle back to their king before the queen came in, and they're trying to negotiate them over a barrel. I think they did that with a ship out to sea to blow up the natural resources and take them. They're really doing all kinds of crazy things around the world. So, you know, we see it from our, spectrum, but stay tuned internationally, especially under the other common law countries that are fighting tooth and nail. You know, if they had the tools we still even have remaining that I've seen work in, like, states like Vermont that are stripped down and old, you know, and they haven't changed as much as, like, Connecticut. If they had any tools like this, like in Britain, they would be beating them by now. We are just too complacent, and we haven't made our system extensible quite enough. We can't stop educating. We can't stop giving people new tools in their tool belt. And I think teaching people how to write affidavits, getting them to do them on time, and then connecting them with cases, like Gerard said,
and that's good, but I just, Jesus said lay the axe to the root, and I think that the root of the problem is this sex trafficking and of course the drugs and the guns and all that stuff too. But I mean, I think if we take the axe and lay it down into the root and start chopping and just don't quit, because we can fiddle around up in the branches all we want, but until we get down to the root and yank that thing out of there, which, I mean, that
people could be stupid and selfish and immoral and not care about kids and still understand the fact that if they can't be trusted with kids, how could they be trusted with everything else?
Exactly.
Even a stupid,
self-interested, immoral person who didn't think about the kids should get that.
Exactly. That's well said.
Look, at the roots are laid bare right now because you have these top operators that are exposed. Why would you go anywhere else? We got Clinton. We got the New York City police. We have the evidence. We have the emails. It's like a match made in heaven. And, you know, all you have to do is take one or two of them out, that group right there, the problem is done, finished. I'm telling you, they would run so fast you wouldn't be able to keep track of them. You know, because they think that they're invincible.
That's what I mean. See, that's why I don't believe the way you do, Gerard. I think they think they're invincible, and just because one or... But I'm just probably a curmudgeon about it, but I think they think, well, they just got caught and we won't, and then we'll just go back to business as usual. Oh, no, you won't.
Not when you get the likes of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Obama. They're not going to think that, oh, well, they just got caught. Was it Rebecca that went in and got the king drunk and took his head off and then put it on the post the next morning? What did the army do when they saw their leader's head on a stake the next morning? Guess what?
That was jail.
The psychological, the psyops of that is worth more than a million bullets, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Because of fear in their hearts. I'm telling you, if you take those three people down, everybody's going to be packing their bags. They're going to be looking to leave.
Okay.
Holland won't have enough streets for them. Where do they have the legalized stuff? Is that Holland or someplace over there?
Yeah.
It's the only place they'll be able to go if they make it there.
What's the lady's name that was speaking again?
Jan in Kansas.
Yeah, Jan, you know what? I agree with you 100%. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, and I know anything we're doing here isn't even going to work without, you know, our Father in heaven blessing it and guiding and directing us, and I agree that's an important issue. I would say that the reason NLA probably is one of the best organizations out there that are Christian and patriot and trying to do things from a godly perspective is that if we don't get a handle on the judicial aspect of it and try to gain control of our courts, there will be no justice, at least on this earth. In eternity, there's going to be justice. We know that. I mean, the supreme God of the universe, the supreme judge of the universe is going to give these people their justice someday. But, you know, to see that here on earth now, especially in a country like America where we have a judicial system that the people can have an impact and influence on, if we can't have an effect on that here, you won't ever see that justice because oftentimes these judges know about it and aren't doing anything about it. So, yeah, we're not going to be able to root them out. Yeah, we're not going to be able to root them out if we're not in a position of power to do that. That's just
my
thinking.
Well, I know, but I think I have faith in the soccer moms. I have faith in the grandmas sitting in the basement of the church having a piece of cake together. That if you get that group of people, and I'm not just talking about the women, but, you know, being a woman, that's the groups that I sit in. And I know the power that resides in the ordinary person. If you get the ordinary person stirred up, if you get 20 women in a church all saying the same thing, you better believe a church of 200, 20 women all saying the same thing, that thing's going to get done. You see what I'm saying? We just got to take it out on the street.
Sounds like you got a committee of safety going on right there if you get those women in that church involved. You know what I'm saying?
I love you because you're exactly right. That's how you do it. You got to bring the cause. So I also believe that these people are going to have justice in time. Think about the mind of God. Think about the things that have already happened in history and in the Bible. This has already all happened before. We're just doing it again. And it doesn't make sense for him to come and smite his hand over the nation because it has to be done by his people in time. So he says, in that day, I will slay Leviathan. That means we're going to do it. He said, do you not know you will judge men and angels? Well, guess what? That starts now. That's what this is about, I believe. That's my confidence. That it makes, look at, there is no contest between God and Lucifer. There is none. We know he can't win. There's no electric light show going to happen in the sky because it's over before it begins.
He's already defeated Poe.
That's right. It has to be in his people. Look at the reason all this stuff is allowed to go on is for us to rise up and fix it. It's the only reason it's allowed to go on is to contract the good with evil. And if we don't turn our face to him, and we don't make a difference, then we'll all be smited. We'll go down with them because we have the responsibility and we didn't do it. And guess what? He's going to destroy us with them.
But that's right.
There will be a country, a nation, a people who are going to rise up to the occasion. And if it's not us, then it's going to be in Russia. It's going to be someplace else, Portugal. I don't know where. But right now, the ball's in our court. If we drop this ball, woe to us. Because I believe it's going to happen in time. And right now, the ball's in our court. We've been pushing this ball down the road for 3 years, and it's reached a climax now. We have perfect timing, perfect situation, right? You know, we haven't had so much hope for 20 years. I've been in this game a long, long time. You know, I knew the churches were corrupt back in the 60s. You know, that the enemy was in the churches. I knew, you know, because my parents raised me. They were very discerning, and they saw it. They were about 50 years ahead of their time, though. You know, my mother was buying survival food in the 60s. Because actually, we were a nation at that point. In a certain sense, it makes sense. If you're going to live in a nuclear nation, and in order to be, if you don't want to be like the foolish virgin, you want oil in your lamps, it's something the Mormons have as part of their faith, to have 2 years of food stocked up. There's nothing wrong with that. God's people are supposed to be prepared and not caught. He says you will not be caught unawares. You know, no man knows the day nor the hour, but God's children will not be caught unawares. What does that mean? I believe it means what it says it means. And I believe that that's us. And so, like you said, you get those 20 soccer moms, there's your committee of safety. And let me tell you what, I don't care what you say, women is what makes the world go around, it's what makes the nation go around. Men are out there trying to make money and do all this stuff and supposedly protecting their family. But, you know, our families has been destructed because, you know, people don't stick together anymore, husbands and wives. And that's why the kids are all shot, because you don't have that cohesiveness. And really, when it comes to morals, if the woman is not moral in the family, the whole family will go down. It's very hard for a man to keep the morals. I'm not saying he can't, but it's just a more natural thing for a woman to do, you know. And just think about it. In a traditional society, the women have the kids in the formative years. The fathers don't. You know, this society, we're out working, running, doing this, fighting wars, blah, blah, we, you know, and even in the Indian tribes and stuff, the boys didn't get the father's influence until they were 12 or 13, when they could go out hunting with them. Then the fathers had something to do with them. Oh, they could pull a bow, they can aim, okay, I'm ready for them. But when it was same time to change diapers and all that other stuff, they didn't want to know nothing about that. And so it was the women that were telling the little boys the hunting story, so that when they turned 13, they wanted to be with dad. Today they tell them these stories. Dad's bad. Dad's this. Dad's a pervert. Dad kills animals. Dad, that, that. That's what you get, you know. You got this hate of men and hate of the fathers, hate of women and hate. Everything's hate, hate, hate.
Well, let me tell you what. You give me three or four Kellys and Lindsays and put them in every county. You put turn the wind loose, and I'll tell you what, we'd take this country back in a few months. And I am very serious. I am very serious.
How about we identify an action plan, and then we get all the, look at, we have people of means that are not stepping up to the plate. Let me tell you what, God's going to hold them responsible, because he gave them a talent. He gave them 10 talents, however many talents he gave them. And because they're not spending them on defending the country by supporting us, they're going to answer to that. So I don't want to get any bigger than that. But look, if we
got a sermon going on there, brother. You got to keep preaching, man. You got a sermon going.
Much is given, much is expected. I'm sorry. If I win the lottery tomorrow, I have a certain obligation to take a portion of that, whatever it is, or most of it, or all of it, the way I am, and take up this cause, right? So with Lindsay and Kelly and those, if we had somebody that could fund us, we could take and say, okay, we're going to run the pedophilia ring. We could fly them into New York. We could do rallies. I'll tell you what, they're celebrities in their own right. They have a certain gift.
Oh, you bet they are.
Them talk, they want to follow them. So I say, her husband's going to hate me. But she's never home anyway, so they can bring the kids and the family with them. All we're talking about, all it would take is 3 or 4 days of her coming to New York, you know, and then a break, and then maybe a couple days in another spot. And we could run a couple of issues at the same time, because ultimately it's going to come back to that federal thing, and it's going to come back to the grand jury and the sheriff, ultimately. So that's really where we're going with everything, because this is a no-brainer. That's where it has to go. So if we're going to go after the Lolita Express, as we're obligated to, it's there. They can't – look, we should never, ever – they should never be able to walk away from that. They said Bill was on that plane 27 times. Mm-hmm. 27 times.
That they admit.
Exactly. But they have evidence to it. Never mind they admit. Mm-hmm. He didn't admit it. They have evidence. The New York City police have evidence. We want the evidence. Turn it over to us. Let's indict. Let's put them on trial. You know? And I don't see why we shouldn't. I don't, you know, it's up to the people. So, you know, but you need the group. You need the, you need those 20 soccer bombs. That's your committee of safety. And you know, we just gave them a name. You know, if you say, 20 soccer bombs, you know, committees of safety, soccer bombs for committee of safety. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's got to be like that. That's the only way it'll happen.
That's right. Yes, that's people, right.
People will
that,
catch your vision.
That was my point, is that regardless of what Mr. Trump does or what Comey doesn't do or what Rudy Giuliani, the Rhodes Scholar, I think, does or doesn't do, who gets appointed or who doesn't, it's not going to matter unless the woman sitting at the church basement and the woman that's sitting in the bleachers watching the kid, you know, until that group of people gets their teeth into it, then it's not going to move. But, you know, they are woke. I mean, I'm just saying this from a female's point of view, not to say anything about the guys, but from a female's point of view, there is nothing more troubling to a woman than to know that a little kid is getting hurt. And mm-hmm. and if we keep, even us women, if we keep bringing that up to other women, that's the thing that's got teeth with women, is that a child is being hurt. And you men are probably the same. I mean,
absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if I could fund it, what would the secret app, that, you know, the killer app, I think, would be, you go to one of these areas, like near the Great Lakes, where the Canadian mob and the other elite pedophiles, you know, traffic kids out in these boats and different things, and you just go through the neighborhood with an RV, with a notary public, and you take down a whole bunch of affidavits, right? And you start filing them in the courts, one after another, on a pattern, right? My kid was stolen. My kid was disappeared, and they didn't, you know, go after him. And then they were stalked by this politician, you know? Like, there's a couple in England, okay? It's so bad over there that they were approached by an upstanding sort of high-class individual in their neighborhood to buy the sexual use of their crippled son. Their disabled son. And they actually are now running for their lives because the establishment will not go after the perpetrator, but is going after them. And so it's like the old days of putting women in psychiatric institutions, and the weirdos in Russia, when they used mind control and used psychological sanctioning, they go after people with everything to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Lewis, he's the one that sent us all affidavits from Portland. He just hit me with something. He PM'd me on Facebook, and he says, I have emailed you the affidavit for status hearings for Michael Emery. That sort of blew me out of the water, but you know, that's something else we might get involved in. He's down in Eugene or somewhere down there, Eugene or somewhere in mid Oregon.
Okay, what was the circumstances around Michael Emery? Refresh my memory. I'm sorry.
Okay, he was up at Mall here and all this, and I thought he had street sense. He's a weapons expert. And then he'd been involved in a lot of stuff, but he made a mistake. The FBI put a sting on him for illegal weapons, and they hung him for that.
Oh, yeah, he was a news guy.
Yeah, he's a voice.
Yeah, I met him. I actually met him, I believe.
Yeah, I think he did, too. I told you to meet him when he went out there, but I didn't even know that Tom was going to do this, but that's going to be interesting looking at that affidavit. So that makes you go, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, the government can spot and mark a mile away. When I talked to Michael Emery, the thing that got me about him is he was way, way too articulate with his methods and his ways. And I said, you know what? They're going to pick him up. He's a perfect bark. Way too outspoken, you know, not enough discernment there. I'm sorry. And I only talked to him for about you know, I saw him for about 2 hours at a place, and that was the conclusion I came to, and it ended up coming to being. It's too bad, you know.
Anybody putting out the word, they wanted Pete Santilli and they wanted Michael Emery bad, and they got them both.
Yeah. And I mean, I can see why they want him, because he didn't hold back at all, and a lot of times he crossed the line in as far as saying stuff that they could hold his feet to the fire on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're getting really ticked off in an argument, and you say, I'm going to kill you. You know what I mean? And you don't mean it, but you know, if they can get that, I mean, I'm giving you a stupid example, but stuff like that where he was discussing too much stuff that shouldn't be talked about in public, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you're just asking for trouble, you know? And that's what I saw with him. I saw that his mouth ran a little too loose, and he ended up getting hung by the tongue is what ended up happening.
Yep.
You know? So it's unfortunate, but... And I don't know what they got him on, but I'm sure they set him up really good, you know?
I'm trying to remember. He had a... it is an automatic weapon in which he sells... He's been in the gun trade for years. He sells weapons worldwide, okay? Somebody he was bartering with somebody for a AK-47 or something. He had a brand new magazine or something. And he met that guy that was an FBI informant. He gave him the magazine for him to try. Bingo, they had him. Now, there's something about a magazine. I forget. Don't quote me, but it's something, you know, about...
So they got him on a stupid statutory thing.
And they
like that because it's cut and dry, and the judge can come in and say, doesn't matter what he did, I'm not letting any of that in, it has nothing to do with nothing, did he or did he not have a magazine, did he or did he not give it to the guy, that's it, end of the story.
Yeah, he's in trouble big time.
Yeah, I think they got him pretty locked down as far as the statute goes, and so what happens is it becomes a fight against the statute, which they don't want to address, obviously, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's a very, very hard battle to fight. I mean, actually, it's not a hard battle, but they don't want to go there. You got to know how to drag them there. It's very tricky, you know. And if you give them jurisdiction by entering into their court, and you can't, you know, and you can't, you got to have a grand jury and a jury there in order to tame the judge. That's the problem. The judge is the strong man. You know, we always said, who's the strong man in the county? It's the judge. If you want to take your county back, you got to bind the strong man. That's the judge. If he's not beholden to the Constitution, then your county's shot, because that's the gatekeeper right there. And so, and of course, the federal level, it's even, you know, it's just as much, you know, and that's what's going on. These judges just control everything, and there's no common law as far as they're concerned. And if you don't know how to proclaim it and hold it and stay in that jurisdiction, you're done, you know. And the federal guys, they're really good. They're really good at getting you to step over the line and change the jurisdiction by hanging you by the tongue. You know what I mean? So anyway, look, it's getting late. I don't want to go on too much. We've had some good points. Let's get these committees of safety up, and let's have some more ideas. I love the soccer bomb thing. See, that was every one of these calls, even though we do go far afield sometimes, they tend to generate good information for people that are having trouble. Well, where am I going to? I can't. Nobody wants to do it. Hey, different ideas, different places, different, you know, go to the bingo hall. You know, somebody who would have thought to go into a church group in the basement with women and start your committee of safety right there. Boom, bada bing, bada boom. I love it. And that's a great idea. And there were lots of other ones. I'm picking on that one because it's the one that sticks in my head that was the most original tonight. So let's take these forward. And this is why we take these calls. I mean, of course, somebody's got to go through. That's why I don't want them to go too long. They got to go through the whole thing to get our tidbits. There are lots of tidbits in here tonight. You know,
well, so I agree.
One more comment, Gerard. Is Soros in New York?
You think that he's going to let me know that? I know he has a farm. I don't know. We got a lot of helicopters flying over. Maybe one, you know, my goodness, if we knew who it was, it probably wouldn't be in the sky very long. But
if he's in New York, if he's close to the city, you put a bug in Sergeant O'Shaughnessy down in the 31st precinct.
Yeah.
It's something to think about. It's something to think about, pray about.
And Gerard, this is John in Indiana. I want to know what you think about this suggestion that I want to make. I've made it to my district, my tri-state, in the past, and I actually asked them last week. I posted the question to them about posting under politics on Craigslist. I have posted on it in the past. I currently post on it. And last year, I was posting across the country, East Coast to West Coast, all the way down to Florida. Of course, you know, anything to do, which it was always going to do in L.A. If it was New York, it got flagged within a couple of few minutes, usually. But it's free PR. All you need is a zip code, and you can just copy and paste in multiple zip codes. You're covering counties. To me, it's an opportunity, and it's spell on death errors. I just wanted your take on it.
Did you say it got flagged?
When I put it in New York City, yes.
Okay, so somebody complained about it. In other words,
no. I think just right there on the page, all you got to do is hit a flag and just ding it.
Oh, you mean a flag is a good thing, and it didn't get flagged?
No, they can knock it off. They can knock it off. Like, say if somebody thought it was inappropriate or something.
Okay.
They didn't like it, or they didn't like it. They were offended by it. But, you know, for example, yeah, I know you want to go, but for example, what if we, in case of Kansas, in every zip code in Kansas, and usually you can cover more than one city with one, you know, you can cover multiple areas with one zip code, you know, depends on the area, rule-wise or whatnot. But we posted a link, Power of the Sheriff, from NLA, to every zip code in Kansas. And maybe put a little link that elections are coming up, dear Sheriff. We'll be there. Just as a suggestion, as an example, what I've done in the past and what I still do.
I think it's a great idea. Craigslist, you know, putting a link in or something like that is a lot easier to get away with than actually getting involved in a political discussion where they have the opportunity to make you stick your foot in your mouth. You know, just beware that the police do troll Craigslist. You know, they're looking for all kinds of crimes going on there, you know. So they're on it, and they look, and they, you know, and of course, in this information age that we're in, things are going to be checked more thoroughly as time goes on, and they're going to have more people, they're going to have more automatic checking certain keywords that will kick it out. However, I wouldn't let that stop me, especially if you're posting a link. Look at our links are out there anyway. What do we care? Like
right.
I said, you know, bad press is better than no press. I would send it all over the place. But the safest thing is a link, Power of the Sheriff, that type of thing. I mean, not to say that you shouldn't get on there and say something, because, look, as there's always opportunities. I mean, you got to pick your battles. But, you know, if you're going to say something, you want to stick to the fundamentals. You want to almost parrot our forefathers, because when they come after you, it makes a great case in law. You know, if you say something that was a quote of one of the forefathers and they go after you for it because they're too stupid to know that it is, you know, where you're not doing it word for word, you're kind of ad-libbing it, but it's that quote, you know what I mean? And they try to come after you for that, it's not going to hold up in a court of law. We make them look stupid. You know, NLA goes after them. If they go after you and we come in to defend you, like, let's say, I mean, not that I'm looking for more court cases, because there's so many of them that we could be doing and should be doing, But should it arise, it's an opportunity. And that's where we always roll with the punches. Sometimes God shows us where he wants to go. And just like, you know, the whole issue of the children that I think it was Kansas Jan brought up, you know, we kind of got led there. I mean, that was an issue that fell in our laps when we weren't paying attention. And I think it's time to pick the ball up again. We've been distracted with the election and all this other stuff and circumstances with the, you know, the federal trials. But we were squarely in that whole child abuse thing. I mean, we had a big investigation going on out west, and that kind of fell down, not because of us, but because there were players in there, some from pretty seedy players, and that was actually a very cloak and dagger thing that goes all the way up to the White House, I believe. I don't want to really talk about it too much, but, you know, we get a lot of stuff dumped in our laps, and how to move forward with that, I think the whole soccer mom in the church basement is the best way to handle a pedophile ring that goes to the White House. You know what I mean? Get the moms on it, man, you know? So it's the safest way. Think about it. You know? They're gonna have a real hard time with that one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, signing off with that, I'm back on that again. Look, we got really good ideas. Let's start implementing them. Let's start putting them through a committee of safety structure.
Can I give you just a thing while it's on my mind? In Australia, not in Britain, but in Australia, they tackled this on a series of 60 Minutes. They've got the same show, same format. Okay. You've got the old Franklin investigation that was covered up. That's an old video. Involves Houston, Texas a lot and those guys. And then you've got the Utah one, the Page Boy era and Boys Town, okay, for all history. You could show these in the church basements and then have a workshop on affidavits to anybody in the neighborhood who's had a problem with the judicial system stealing their kids from this. And, you know, if you had a sort of system, a turnkey system that really turned out a product, and that product was case notes and case affidavits.
Yeah.
We need a section. Guys, excuse me for a minute, sir. I was going to say something really quick. We need a section. We need a page on the website where these ideas that are pouring out of people's minds, because you guys are brilliant. I mean, much more creative than I am. I mean, but having that on there to where people that want to start a committee of safety or have one can go and start to get their creative juices flowing, because just listening to you guys, it's like, man, I mean, these are some talented people with a lot of great ideas, you know, stuff I would never think of.
Well, maybe what has to happen, and of course it's always more work for somebody, is to do kind of like a transcript and strip these things out. It's very hard to get back to one idea. And especially in a 3-hour show, like our Monday night call, there's some stuff that comes up. And, you know, when you go to try to find it, it's like, man, oh, man. You know, if you don't write down the hour that it was set in and stuff. And we did have somebody, I don't know if they're still doing it, because I'm so busy with other stuff, I don't always keep up with everything that we're doing, you know. We had those things transcribed every Monday night. Which I would rather look at something written. For me, if I can hold it and read it, it's so much better for me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
As far as using something as a resource. I think it's for everybody just that way. So you're right. We should do that. And I lost my train. There was one other thing I wanted to bring up before we went, as far as this whole soccer mom thing with the kids that we're on to right now. Oh, there's been other situations where the women have come out into the streets for their children in other countries, and that's what broke it loose. The mothers, the children, with the mothers and the families. And that's what we have to do here. You know, this thing has to go there. When the mothers finally come out in the streets, then they're done. These guys, look at Hillary Clinton is a lie. It's a lie. She's not for women's rights, and she's not for children's rights, and she's not for – it takes a village. Yeah, it takes a village, you know. I don't want to live in her village, a pedophilia village. You know? It's like everything she says, she's the exact opposite, and we can really, really show that. We could really drive that home. We could. I mean, she needs to be in jail. But even if we didn't put her in jail, we could ruin her forever. You know?
Amen.
So anyway, I don't want to get on here pontificating. We had a good call. I'm going to end it before it gets too long, and we'll come back and look at. Maybe we should think about somebody going through these and pulling out some of these ideas and actually writing them down. And yes, we can put them on a committee of safety tab page. Something I agree. It's good ideas.
Well, we could all take turns doing it. As far as I'm concerned, I don't mind. I mean, each call, if there's an idea that comes up, as long as somebody like you, Gerard, or whatever says, I like that idea, I'm taking note of that idea. Then whoever goes back and listens to the tape can, boom, there's their cue right there. That's what we want to, you know, take that idea that was just, you know, approved by the moderator or leader or whatever.
Well, so could it be in the form then of meeting minutes? Would that be the easiest format?
It could be, and everybody could just send in their notes. Like, we should be taking notes while we're, you know, have a pencil and a pad during the call, and then you put the idea down, and then we'll do a central mail where you can email those, even if it's a one-liner. But you're right. If somebody could do minutes, that would be a very good thing, too, because then...
It's a good idea.
And then what we could do from those minutes, rather than just post the minutes, is distill the ideas out and say, ideas taken from the COS meetings.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a page with a columns of different ideas of where to go and what to do.
Like with Harley's idea, then they could get with him and see if he'd, you know, churned any more detail out on it, because that was great.
Right. Well, look at this. This is good. And if we could somehow tie it all into the Committee of Safety thing, because I think to me that's the no-brainer to get it going, you know. Yeah. I don't care if it's the church women downstairs. That's the Committee of Safety. That's it. It's there. Right? You know,
hey,
I mean, look at the Committee of Safety could be two people.
You've heard of the country song, When God-Fearing Women Get the Blues. See, now, Jan's, there's a perfect example. She's got the blues over the child molestation and pedophilia things. Next thing you know, great ideas come, and you take and run off with that. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, this is a good call, no doubt about it. You know, as far afield as we ran, but we came full circle and came back, and I'm happy with that. Okay, guys, I'm gonna leave on a good note now.
God bless you all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for showing. Thank you.
Thanks, Gerard.
Yeah.
Good night.